بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and the sisters who are listening, we are preparing ourselves to be the elite soldiers of the 12th Imam. We are the ones who are responsible for hastening his reappearance, and we know that that is not going to come easily. The Imam is not waiting on the rest of humanity to better themselves. He's waiting on the Shias of the Ahlul Bayt to better themselves. Walaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So it's on us. It's on us to better ourselves. We listen to the words of the Ahlul Bayt when they describe those companions of the Mahdi who we hope to be. And one of the lines is this, Ruhbanul Layl. Usdun bin Nahar, that they are monks at night, lions during the day. So we're talking about digging really deep to be those people. What we've chosen to talk about for the couple of days that I have the honor of being here with you, brothers and sisters who are the soldiers of the Mahdi, will be selections from the khutbah, which is the khutbah of Amirul Mu'mineen al-Muttaqeen, the one who he was speaking to one of his companions known as Hammam. And Hammam was a worshipper, a devoted man. And Hammam asked Amirul Mu'mineen to describe the pious for him. He said, please describe the pious people, the muttaqeen, the God-weary, in such a way that I can see them as if I'm looking at them. Salawat par Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. So Hammam, this wonderful companion of the Imam, he asked the Imam, he said, please describe the muttaqeen and the pious for me in such a way that I can see them. And at first, it's in Nahj al-Balagha that Amirul Mu'mineen hesitated. He just told him, he said, have taqwa of Allah, fear God, do good. Surely Allah is with those who are muhsineen and good doers. But Hammam insisted and demanded that the Imam describe the muttaqeen for him. And the Imam started describing them, sentence after beautiful sentence. When Hammam got to the end of the khutbah, Hammam died. Just hearing the traits of those wonderful people from the tongue of Amirul Mu'mineen was too much for him. Now, of course, for our scholars, what they've done is they've done commentary on this. They've thought about this and tried to find an explanation for the words of the Ahlul Bayt, meaning those traits that were described from the words of the Ahlul Bayt. We're going to try and both describe those things, and then if there's some helpful tips we can gain from the words of the Ahlul Bayt to help us to become those muttaqeen, then that would be a gift that we would thank Amirul Mu'mineen, Imamul Muttaqeen, before the month of Ramadan, what we're thinking about these things. The khutbah starts in this way. He says that Allah created the creation. This is Amirul Mu'mineen talking. Allah created the creation, and when He created them, He was free of need from them. Allah didn't have any need of His creation. He was free of need of their worship and safe from their sins. He didn't feel that if they committed sins. The hadith continues in this way. He is not harmed by the sin of the one who disobeys him, nor does he benefit by the obedience of the one who obeys him. So God doesn't benefit. We believe that there is wisdom behind God's rulings, but we believe we are the beneficiaries.
not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This is very helpful for us in our spiritual development, and when we're later faced with questions about why is it that you do these particular actions, you as believers, that's different to what we do here in the West, why is it that you believe in these values? We believe that although we do not understand the wisdom, and indeed we are not capable of understanding all of the wisdom behind God's laws, we're not God. At the same time, we know that Allah has created these laws for a reason. We know He's wise, and we're the beneficiaries. God doesn't get anything out of it. We need these laws, and we do this. Knowing this simple fact makes it easy for us to have that first level of Islam, which is known as at-taslim. Al-Islam huwa taslim. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Islam is submission, surrender, turning myself over to God. So, you know, one major thing, one major disease of the soul that stops us from advancing spiritually and cripples us when we would like to be the soldiers of Imam Mahdi, that is arrogance, kibr. Sometimes when people are questioning the laws of God, and they want to know why it is that this ruling there, we don't mind if you say, well, I would like to know some of the wisdom. I don't claim to be God. I don't claim to that I would ever get to the wisdom behind it, the entire wisdom of God's ruling. But some small, minor wisdoms that maybe would help me strengthen my faith and keep me on the right path. But sometimes people question, and it's not because they want to know the tiny wisdom behind it. They are arrogant, and they cannot submit to the unknown. They follow their own intellect and they submit to that. The part of the religion which they feel agrees with their intellect, they submit to that. But the part which they don't understand, that kibr and that arrogance keeps them from submitting. And that's dangerous. God forbid that happens. But the believer, he says, well, look, I know that God made it for a reason. I know I'm the beneficiary. He didn't do it for no reason, but I'm the beneficiary. Also, I think good of God. Even if I don't know the wisdom behind it, I know that I serve a good God. I serve a God who only does things that are good for me. He wants khair for me. And this is an important point for us as believers. We're taught in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, they say, think good of God. Expect good of God. Think that Allah is on your side. They say that Allah acts with His servants, He deals with His believing servants according to their expectations. If I think badly of God, it's one of the sifat of the mushrik in the Quran, the sifat of the mushrikeen and the munafiqeen, the polytheist and the hypocrites, that they actually think bad of God. But a true believer, even if I don't know the wisdom, I know God's wise, I know what's in my interest, I don't know all why it's there, but God's just, He loves me, He cares about me. And hadiths say that God deals with you according to your expectations. If they're good, then He deals with you in a good way. If they're bad, sometimes we bring down bala on ourselves. I expect God's going to hurt me. I expect not to get the job. I expect I'll fail in this exam. I expect, and maybe it might happen. So think good of God. We believe in Allah. We believe we serve a good and kind and just God. So that helps us with that first point, which was taslim, but now we want to get to those higher levels, which are taqwa. This is the first sentence of the khutbah that we're going to discuss amongst ourselves. He says, Al-muttaqoon hum ahlul fadail. The pious, the righteous, the God-wary, it is them, they are the people of distinction. You know, this is one of those politically incorrect statements of the Ahlul Bayt. It's different from the Western culture that we're growing up in, the current prevalent world culture. It's different. Now what happens is sometimes believers who are not so strong in their faith, when they're faced by a politically incorrect statement of the Ahlul Bayt, they'll be quick to apologize or justify Or try and make what the Ahlul Bayt just what everybody else said, instead of saying, no, the path of the Ahlul Bayt is superior to everything that's out there. And we're not saying in an arrogant way. It's the reality, it's a fact. I might not be a good Muslim, but the Ahlul Bayt, their path, is excellent. It's beyond anything that I can imagine. The way that it's described in the dua that we read for the month of Sha'ban, when they're describing the Ahlul Bayt, they say, Al-Fulku al-Jariya fil-Lujaj al-Ghamira. The sailing ship amongst those towering waves, everywhere else is nonsense, problems, issues. Purity is found in that path of the Ahlul Bayt. So for us, before we start to be a Muslim apologist and back down and apologize and please, I'm just like you, I'm sorry, I'm a Shia. Before I start to do any of that, first I'll be a little bit confident. No, the Ahlul Bayt, let's see what they have to say. There's a very interesting story that helps the ulama take from these ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt and they derive lessons from them that help us to be those soldiers of the imam. So I'll give you one interesting story from the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt. There is a man named Unwan Basri. And if the brothers and sisters will go online, this hadith has been translated. The hadith of Unwan Basri has been translated. And it's such an important hadith for spiritual development. Some of the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt are keys for spiritual development. It's so important that one of the top urafa of our time, his name was Sayyid Qadhi Tabatabai, A'lalla maqamahu sharif, may Allah have mercy on his soul and elevate his station. He used to inform his special students, he would say, read this hadith once or twice a week. Keep the hadith on you. Just keep the hadith written with you in your pocket. That's how important it is. So now, let's look at the first part of the hadith of Unwan Basri, see the lesson that we get from that, and then move on to understanding the words of Amirul Mu'mineen. Unwan Basri is a 94-year-old man, and he comes to visit Imam. He's the one who's narrating the hadith. He goes to see Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says, I used to be someone who would benefit from Malik, one of the Imams of the Ahlul Sunnah, Malik. I used to benefit from Malik, go to Malik's classes, and then I heard about Imam Sadiq. He's the grandson of the Prophet, he's wise, he knows hadith, he's pious. I wanted to go and learn and benefit from him. So I go to the Imam, and I ask the Imam, please give me some advice, tell me what I'm supposed to do. And the Imam does something a little bit strange to you and I. He tells him that, brother, actually I'm busy. Every day, during the day, I have adhkar, things that I recite, du'as, dhikr, these things. I'm a busy man. The government's after me. I'm rajulun matlub. I mean, people are looking for me. People have associates. The government doesn't like me. All of these things. I don't have time. You used to be one of the students of Malik. Go back to Malik. You benefit by Malik. Go back to Malik. Benefit from Malik. So Unwan tells a story. He says, when the Imam said that to me, I felt so distressed. I felt that if there was any good in me, if he had seen any good in me, he would have taken me under his wing. He would have tried to give me some advice. I mean, the Imam is there to save mankind. And he tells me, get out of here. Go back where you came from. Go to Malik. Benefit from him. He says, I was so upset, I left the Imam's house. We're in Medina. He goes to the grave of the Prophet of Allah, and he does tawassul. This is, again, one of the keys for us on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt, tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt. He goes to the Prophet's grave, passes his salams, and asks Allah, he says, please turn the heart of Imam Sadiq to me. Make him love me, make him care about me. And he goes. He says that I went to my house, and I was so upset, I couldn't even leave the house for a couple of days. One day, 2 days, I didn't go to the class of Malik anymore. Now I had been filled with the love of Ja'far. He said, finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I go back to the house of the Imam. I come to the door of the Imam and I ask for help. You know, please allow me to have an audience with the Imam. And the servant comes and he welcomes me in. And then the Imam starts to give those keys, those jewels of the Ahlul Bayt to Unwan. But ulama stop right here. Before they even get to the rest of the hadith on what else the imam told him, those keys of Islamic spirituality, they start with this first lesson. Sometimes, in order for us to advance spiritually, first we have to cleanse ourselves of old ideas and values. In order to become spiritual, I have to cleanse myself of the mental idols that are in my heart. I'll give you a hadith and then illustrate this point, inshallah, a little bit better. The hadith is this. This is from Imam Sadiq, alayhi salatu wasalam. For me, I get energy when I hear your salawat, bar Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The hadith goes like this. Al-qalb haramullah. The heart is the shrine of God. You know, you go to the haram of Ibn, the haram of... The heart is the shrine of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تُسْكِنْ حَرَمَ اللَّهِ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ. Don't allow any other than God to reside in the haram or shrine of God. We have to clear out those mental idols from before. Now, all of us, whichever country we come from, whichever society we live in, there's a certain set of values which are taught and preached there. And unknowingly, we accept these values as being correct. We adopt them as our own. That also happens for us who live in the West. There are values here. Values. Unknowingly, sometimes without comparing them to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, we can accept these values as our values. If I come in with a heart which has shirk in it, these values which are not from the Ahlul Bayt, then you teach me some of the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, sometimes my heart won't accept these things because they go against the idols I have on the inside. Values that I've accepted. Islam doesn't say this. The International Charter of Human Rights says this. And Islam... mental idol inside the heart. We believe that Islam respects human rights. We're not worried about that. We believe the path of the Ahlul Bayt is superior to anything and everything that's out there. We're not looking for anybody to do Islam favors. Teach Islam how to be humane. Nastajiru billah. Min shururi anfusina. So, for instance, some of the mental idols that are sometimes taught, moral relativism, the role of science and religion. We believe there's a certain, we don't believe in the way that they've associated science and religion. The role of the intellect and submission. We have our own thoughts on these things. The luminous thoughts, they're not from us, they're thoughts from the Ahlul Bayt. Secularism, being a secular Muslim, not our values, their values. Humanism, human beings being the center of the universe and deciding what's right and wrong, what's lawful and not lawful, what's good and bad. We say God is the center of the universe. He decides. Pluralism, all of these things, and there's other ones. Mental idols which exist in people's hearts. But before we come to the words of the Ahlul Bayt, before we want to understand those things, first we cleanse the heart of all those things. We want to say, what did the Ahlul Bayt say? Whatever they say is correct. Whatever anybody else says, that's their own business. There is, can I give you guys a bad example? It's a bad example, but it's okay. Bad example. I knew a young brother who went to a Catholic school. Young brother going to a Catholic school. But he was one of those little Shia rebels. Not one of those little, you know, apologist Muslims. He was like one of these little Shia rebels. He's like, look, he said, I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't want to study it. I don't even want to write it down in the exams. I don't believe that junk. Little Shia rebel.
So I told him, I was like, look, bro, it's okay, study that stuff. You just don't believe it. You study it, you know it better than anybody else. Inside out. Liberal democracy rides on this, you know. But don't believe it. Don't accept it. You're following God a little bit. Now, the bad example, right? The bad example is this, that, you know, amongst gangsters and drug dealers, and never, God forbid, a Muslim become a drug dealer, but amongst gangsters, they have, you know, some little gangster sayings. Right? Drug dealers, in America at least, I don't know, inshallah, they don't have them here, but gangster sayings. One of them is that if you're selling drugs, you never start to smoke your own supply. You learn these values from the West. Don't believe them. You're smoking your own supply, bro. What's the other way to say? Okay. So when it comes to these values, we say no. Islamic values. The role, for instance, just very briefly, the role between the intellect and submission. We believe in first think, ponder, come to a conclusion. We'll talk to you about anything under the sun. You want to talk about whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists? We'll prove it to you. The Quran is a miracle? We'll prove it to you. The Day of Judgment? We'll prove it to you. Amirul Mu'mineen? We'll prove it to you. But then after that, once I say the Prophet said something, submit. Sometimes people haven't come in. They think of philosophies. Sometimes people even try and come to me and they're like, brother, when you talk to the youth need to be convinced of why it is that they follow the various laws of Islam. You know, tell those brothers why it is that we don't eat pork. Tell, you know, more than that, get to understand why Allah exists. Is the Quran a miracle? If it's a question for you, talk about it, think about it. We've got books, we'll sit, we'll discuss. But then after that, submit. You don't have to know. You might never know why it is that Allah made Fajr prayers 2 rakats and Zuhr prayers 4 rakats. You might never know why it is that we make wudu with water and we make tayammum with dirt. If the reason you accept Islam is because you have this little philosophy, oh, wudu makes me clean, you know, what does tayammum do to you, bro? We submit. So, now, one of these hadith from the Ahlul Bayt, you know, that only the warrior saints would like, right? Only the warrior saints. Whoever enters man dakhala fi hadha ad-din bir-rijal, whoever enters this religion because of people, akhrajahu minhu ar-rijal kama adkhaluhu fi. The same way that people made you enter the religion, they'll make you leave the religion. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ But whoever enters the religion because of Qur'an and Sunnah, because they've thought about it, because they've pondered, because they've seen what the Ahlul Bayt have to say, and then they've accepted after pondering, and they've submitted, زَالَتِ الْجِبَالِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَزُولِ Mountains will move before he moves. So we encourage people, think about it, talk about it. Why is it the Ahlul Bayt said this? Accept it. Then after that, mountains will move before he moves. So now, back onto that statement of the Imam, which was that al-muttaqum hum ahlul fadail. The pious and righteous people, they're the people of distinction. Not everybody else. Everybody in the world isn't equal. Everybody in the world isn't equal. It's service to God that makes you great. It's submission to Allah that makes you wonderful. If we don't submit to Allah, you and I, we're also out of the loop. So we don't believe in the myth of moral relativism. You know, they tell us this, you know, oh, morality is subjective. You know, what's good for you might be good, not good for this person. They beat us down. They beat down people of faith, make them back down from their values, like we're talking about taqwa, back down from their values, and they ram their values down your throat. They don't even believe in moral relativism. They say homosexuality is right. And if you don't like it, you're a bigot. They're very dogmatic. The burqa's not good. Why do you care? It's all the same. You like your people to be naked. She likes to wear a burqa. What difference does it make? We're not going to be so foolish as to think, oh, they really just have a problem with the burqa. They don't have a problem with the hijab. We're not naive. Abortion is right. So they're very dogmatic. They don't even believe. They're not smoking their own supply. Why would I? So we have our own values. Our values are timeless. They're immutable. They're old school. Right? Ahlul Bayt, old school. We're not going to apologize for our values. So we believe that good acts which are done for God are valuable. Otherwise, an act in and of itself, somebody gives in charity. Well, giving in charity is good, but you're a good person when you do it because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna akramakum inda Allah atqakum. The best of you, the most noble of you in the eyes of God is the one who has taqwa. A lot of people can give in charity. You have big actors and actresses go give in charity. After that, go on Oprah, talk about not doing it for Allah. Some people get impressed. Oh, wow, you know, they gave, you know, they went to Africa and adopted somebody. Oh, God. Not a soldier of the Imam, though. Oh, wow, okay. Mashallah. So we don't believe in those things. Very quickly, because we're running out of time, let's define taqwa. The Imam said that, you know, we have to have taqwa. Those are the people of distinction. Let's define that taqwa and let's see if we have that taqwa. Taqwa is being careful about God. What we translate in the later translations of Quran, they call it being God-wary. Always seeing yourself in the presence of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have hadith that state, this is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He said the toughest thing that has been imposed on us, our heaviest duty, he said, is to remember Allah much. Dhikr kathir. To remember Allah much. He said that remembering Allah much is not only to remember Allah by saying Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. He said that's part of it, but remembering Allah much is to remember Allah when you're faced with halal and haram. That's dhikr kathir. I'm faced with a situation in which Allah doesn't want this done, or Allah has made it obligatory. At that stage, dhikr kathir comes in place. That's dhikr kathir. Another thing is that I can't be a secular Muslim once you give me that definition, because now I have to behave as a Muslim, follow the commands of God in front of others. When the prevalent culture is different from my culture. But God says this particular action is wajib. A secular Muslim would feel comfortable inside his masjid when nobody else is around, pull the abba on, Allahu Akbar, knock himself out. But a soldier of Imam Mahdi, it's time to pray Dhuhr on the airplane. It's wajib. This terrorist is about to perform a ritual. No, I'm telling you. I have to offer my prayers. Ask for a little room in the back. Get a blanket out. Put your torba down. Allahu Akbar. Not on scaredy cat Muslims. They're trying to do it right in the seat, right? So hopefully nobody will notice. Some of them are even so too scared to do that. They won't even do that. Won't even make salat in an airplane like that. They'll miss salat. Qaza. Why so scared? Old school. We don't mind. Make salat in front of other people. So taqwa, halal and haram, even when others are watching. Especially when others are watching. We're different. We're not ashamed. So one thing is that we see ourselves in the presence of God. There's another thing too, though, that when we look for this definition, this is a beautiful hadith of the Mi'raj, where Allah is talking to the Prophet. He says, Ya Ahmad, ij'al hammaka hamman wahida. He says, O Prophet, make your concern, your ham, only one concern. You only have one thing on your mind, and that is doing your taklif, your duty between you and God. That's how the believer is supposed to live. My whole focus is as a servant of God, as a slave of God, the takalif and duties that Allah has placed on my shoulders, that's the only thing I'm worried about. Is that being done? If that's done, great. If that's not done, so then when we talk about takalif and duties of God, it doesn't only mean salat, praying, fasting, khums even. Even when we go to our relationships with our parents, if you're a soldier of the 12th Imam, how are you with your parents? Are you respectful? With your siblings? If you're married, with your wife? With your husband? Do you treat these people the way that Allah wants them to be treated? Do you respect elders? Now when these, you know, youngsters who grows up over here, you know, little young punks, you know, some old man comes by, you know, won't even get him room, you know. Move over, old man, I'm here. That's not the soldiers of the Alamein. We respect those who have gone before us. They've lived longer as Muslims. Those who are younger than us, we have mercy on them. They've committed less sins than we have. We have hadith about these things. So this enables us, this trait, if we're able to be focused on what our taklif is, constantly seeing ourselves as in the presence of God, we'll have that first level of taqwa. Now, this enables, what are the benefits? It enables us to be people of integrity. People of principle, a man of principle, even when you're faced with difficult situations. One of the sifat of the muttaqin, we're not going to get to this in the khutbah because we don't have time to get to it. He describes the muttaqin, he says, فِالزَّلَازَلِ وَقُور, that the muttaqi person, in earthquakes he's dignified. Everything is up and down, going crazy. A lot of times the reason that we commit sin is out of fear. Not because we definitely want to violate Allah's laws, but we're afraid that we're going to lose something. But if you have taqwa, even in a time of crisis, you're going to make the right decision. Because you're level-headed. You just think, well, what is my taklif? As long as I know what my taklif is, I'm straight. I'm not worried about anything. I'll just give you one example of this. Man was eyewitness. He said that when Ayatollah Khamenei was the president of Iran, he said we were flying in the presidential airplane. So I'm riding in the presidential airplane with the president. He said we're flying, and then we get to a situation. I look outside the window and I see that one of the aircraft engines is on fire. The aircraft's on fire. Look again, it's on fire. Go talk to the others in the airplane. No, it's on fire. Inform the pilot everything, you know. He says, now we got to tell the president. We're about to go down. He says, so Ayatollah Khamenei was sitting there and he was relating a story. But I mean, the president, we're going to go down. So I go over to him. You know, he said, I couldn't even wait for him to finish the story. I just interrupt, Mr. President, Ayatollah Khamenei, please. He's like, you know, the airplane is on fire. He said, Ayatollah Khamenei told me, he said, okay, let me finish the story. Continue. Finish the story. Gets up, goes over, walks, looks outside the window, and sees that, yes, indeed, the airplane is on fire. Fil zilzal waqur, in earthquakes, the person is dignified. He went over to the pilots. He said that, try and land the airplane. These things are in the hands of Allah. Don't panic. Try and land the airplane. The pilots go, take the airplane, all this difficulty, they're able to get it onto the ground, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Then Ayatollah Khamenei tells everybody else to exit the plane first. He's the president. Everybody else leave the plane. Then he walks off the airplane. In earthquakes, a person of dignity, if we have this taqwa, we start practicing this taqwa. Okay? Other benefits. Allah will fight our battles for us if we have taqwa. Instead of us going through life alone, place ourselves under the protection of Allah and let Allah go to war for us. Ayat of Quran, Inna Allah yudafi'u 'anil ladhina amanu. Allah defends the believers. Allah defends the believers. So We take this one verse of Quran, right? When we hear in the Quran, when we're promised that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, whoever has taqwa of Allah, God will open doors for him supernaturally. Then it's just a matter of us going and experiencing this taqwa, experiencing this promise of God, that we go to the job interview. Right? Instead of being scared, we are maybe in a situation, I'm trying to get married, I don't know if my parents are going to agree, I don't know if I'll be able to raise money. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. God opens doors. And we just test this time and time again. Positions that we want to get, we get them. So now, final point. Nearing the time for prayers, final point. I know that I have to have taqwa. It's been defined for me that I see myself as being in the presence of God. My whole concern, carrying out my taklif, doing what my duty is, whether that be in my personal life, whether that be in my political life, whether it be at the job, all of these things, my whole concern, nothing but obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, what about a small tip on how to get to the highest levels of taqwa? You know where I got this tip from? This tip is from Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is from the khutbah of the Imam, not the khutbah, the letter of the Imam to his sons. He says that, Usikuma, I advise you too, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and Wuldi, my children, wa ahli, my family, my wives, my wa man balagahu kitabi, and whoever gets this letter and this document, with what? Bitaqwa Allah, having fear of God, wa nadhmi amrikum, being disciplined in your affairs. If we want to get to the highest levels of taqwa, we cannot be random in performing our wajibat. We have to have a schedule for performing our wajibat. Not only our wajibat, but the rest of our spiritual activities. For instance, let's say part of my spiritual program is that I read some Quran every day, or I read Ziyarat Ashura, or whatever. Everybody has a little something that they do in order to remind themselves of God. Now, without knowing, if we were a spiritual rookie, then what we do is, today I feel like it, I read. Today I feel like praying on time, I pray. Tomorrow, no, I pray just before the sun goes down. Next day I want to read 50 ayats of Quran. Next day I'll read 3 ayats of Quran. One day I'll read Ziyarat Ashura. One day, right? I don't have any plan or program. Whereas actually, according to the path of the Ahlul Bayt, those experts in Islamic spirituality, you don't just go into Mafatul Janan at random and start picking things out. There's a certain instructions, basic tools, basic wajibat and mustahabat that we need to do to advance ourselves. But in order to be those special soldiers of the Imam, we have to have a certain time during the day that we do them. Nazm. Discipline, order, not any time. Shaitan likes that. He knows that you're trying to get your nafs under control, but for 35 years, 36 years, me, my nafs has been free. Now I want to get it under control. In order to get it under control, it can't just choose as it wants to. I have to start by giving it a schedule. But what scholars say is, when you want to follow the advice of Amirul Mu'mineen, start easy with yourselves. Don't start by organizing everything, you know. That at 10, you know, at this time in the morning I wake up this time, right? And I organize everything, you know. At 7:45 I use the bathroom. It's too much, right? They say in the beginning you start with just those basic wajibat, those basic a'mal that you do, and give yourself free time. Your nafs can relax, enjoy itself. I don't have anything to do. But for instance, prayer at the first time, that's one of those things. If we do this, there's another hadith now that describes what happens. أَشْجَعُ النَّاسِ مَنْ غَلَبَ هَوَاهُ. The bravest person is the person who's able to overcome his hawa and his nafs. I'm able to discipline myself. You know that Imam Khomeini was so disciplined, the police in France would time their watches by Imam Khomeini walking by. But that's Imam Khomeini. We're not going to get there in one night, go crazy. We'll start with those basic, the wajibat, these different activities. We set those things. If you do that, though, you take these hadith of the Ahlul Bayt seriously, you can do amazing things. I want to give you one story from Imam Khomeini just to show that it's possible for a non-ma'asum. Imam Khomeini says that he was being taken to by the secret police in Iran, the Savak. He's being taken to Tehran to be dealt with. And the Savak, I told you brothers last time about one of their tortures. I'll tell you about another torture. It's okay, I'm here. It's all right. This one time they did to a young girl. They took the young girl and took pins and put it under her fingernails and then rammed her into a wall face first. Like she runs into the wall with these pins sticking out, and then to a young girl they did this. Now what are they going to do to the leader of the Islamic Revolution? But he had worked on himself so much. He said, I was sitting in the car. Those people sitting in the car were scared of me. He said, the guy's legs were trembling. He said, I reached across the seat. I'm like, don't worry, I'm here, buddy. Hang in there. So if we work on ourselves, even non-ma'asumin, we take these advice of the Ahlul Bayt seriously, we can get to those highest levels of iman and taqwa. We ask Allah to accept what was said and heard in His way, that He make us the best of the soldiers of the 12th Imam, that He hasten the reappearance of our Master, that He protect all of the ulama, all of the maraja, all of the believers, especially the leader. Salawat par Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.